final summary and with retrospect, we look at the charismatic movement, the near cult. I have finished reading my master's thesis on this subject. We're going to go back and review and find out what we have determined concerning the charismatic movement. One thing I want to say about the charismatic movement, according to statistics, there are 20,000 different groups or denominations of the charismatic movement. 20,000 different ones. Now, we're going to read some of biblical qualifications of prophets according to the Word of God. In the 13th chapter of Deuteronomy, Deuteronomy means the second law. The reason why Israel was given the second law is because the whole generation of the Jewish people had died, and they needed a review of what the Word of God said. So now we have a definite, an absolute definite instructions from God Himself what and how you're supposed to consider and evaluate a prophecy or a prophet of God. If a prophet or a dreamer dreams arises among you and gives you a sign or a wonder, and the sign or wonder comes true concerning which he spoke to you, saying, let us go after other gods whom you have not known, and let us serve them. Other gods, other things, other excitements, other, what we might say, something besides the orthodox pattern in which I have given you. A prophet will not go contrary to what we call revealed doctrines, orthodoxy that has already been spoken and proven to be true. A prophet, a true prophet, will not lead you away from a revelation that God has given you already, that is set in stone or established. You shall not listen to the words of that prophet and that dreamer of dreams, for the Lord your God is testing you to find out if you love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul. Now, let's establish this right now. What the prophet said came true. The prophecy came true. It was 100% true, but this prophecy led them astray from their orthodox position. You shall follow the Lord your God and fear him, and you shall keep his commandments and listen to his voice and serve him and cling to him. But that prophet or that dreamer of dreams shall be put to death because he has counseled rebellion against the Lord your God, who brought you from the land of Egypt and redeemed you from the house of slavery, to seduce you from the way which the Lord your God commanded you to walk. The orthodox position that the Lord your God has already commanded you to walk, so you shall purge the evil from among you. Now in Deuteronomy, the 18th chapter, verse number 19, it says, you shall come about that whoever will not listen to my words, which shall speak in my name, I myself will require it of him. But the prophet who shall speak a word presumptuously in my name, which I have not commanded him to speak, or which he shall speak in the name of other gods, that prophet shall die. And you may not say in your heart, how shall we know the word of the Lord has not spoken? How shall we know the word of the Lord which the Lord has spoken? How shall we know the truth? When a prophet speaks in the name of the Lord, if the thing does not come to about and come true, that is the thing which the Lord has not spoken. The prophet has spoken it presumptuously, you shall not be afraid of him. And furthermore, you shall execute him, it says. And in 2 Peter, in the second chapter, the Bible, through inspiration, through revelation, through prophecy, has spoken to us through Peter, the Apostle Peter. But false prophets also arose among the people, just as there will also be false teachers among you, who will secretly introduce destructive heresies, even denying the Master who bought them, bringing swift destruction upon themselves. And many will follow their sensuality. Because of them, the way of the truth will be maligned, twisted, crooked. And in their greed, they will exploit you with false words. Their judgment from long ago is not idle, and their destruction is not asleep. For God did not spare the angels when they sinned, and cast them into hell, and committed them to pits of darkness reserved for judgment. What the Lord says here is that he's going to judge the false prophets. Now, true prophecy will not lead a person contrary to what is already revealed to be true. True prophecy will not lead you into heresy and non-orthodox heretical positions. There are 20,000 different stages of and different kinds of denominations in the charismatic movement. They have a different theology than what is revealed in the Word of God. Now there are charismatics in Buddhism and Catholicism and Islam and Mormons. They talk about prophecy and they talk about tongues. Pentecostals, Baptists, and Assembly of God churches are all under these different denominations. We talked about the different ones that brought from the late 1800s all the way through the 20th century and even the 21st century. We have seen different kinds of charismatics. We have named them. Now, what makes a charismatic? A charismatic is a continuist. A charismatic is a continuist. A continuist teaches, and there are so many different doctrinal beliefs in the charismatic movement, how could God be guiding them by inspiration, leading them in all of these thousands of different ideas and doctrines? A continuist means that they believe that the gifts of the Bible, the apostolic gifts, are still in effect today, and that a child of God, that a church member, should seek after experiencing those gifts. A sensationalist teaches that when the Bible was complete, those gifts ceased. Now, history tells us in the early church fathers and the writings of the believers all the way back to the 2nd and 3rd century tells us that the gifts that the apostles had ceased. The charismatics today tell us that they started again in the late 1800s and early 1900s. But what does the Bible teach? Now, we've already said that the Bible says that the gifts would cease when the Bible was completed. the message of the charismatics is a different message than what Paul and Peter and James and John preached, and Matthew, Mark, and Luke. What did Matthew, Mark, Luke, James, Peter, and John and Paul teach? They preached Jesus and Him crucified. Now, the charismatic movement today preaches a different gospel. Their gospel, their evangelism, is that they emphasize the gifts of healing and talking in tongues and prophecy. The message is different. Paul preached Jesus. The modern charismatic preached the gifts. They preached miracles. They preached talking in tongues. Now, the miraculous events in the apostolic age are not the same miracles that are brought into the churches today. Speaking in known languages in the second chapter of book of Acts and in Corinthians tells us that the early church had a gift. Some people had a gift, not everybody. Some people had the gift of speaking and preaching in a language that they did not learn. This language was always a known language, was a glossary, a dictionary, and grammar. They could go into different areas where they did not know the language of the people, and they could speak in the language of that people without having learned it. In the early charismatic movement, some of the charismatic leaders would send missionaries out in different people, and they expected God to be able to teach those missionaries or to be able to. Their idea of speaking in tongues was speaking in a known language. They were very disappointed because it didn't happen. Missionaries came back disappointed. They said, we couldn't speak in their language. We had no message for them. We just did miracles. Then they came up with the idea that there were different kinds of languages in the Bible, the glossolalia. Now, in the King James Bible, it says speaking in an unknown, and it's an italicized, unknown language. Your modern glossolalia, your Pentecostals talk about speaking in this unknown language, in this angels, language of angels, and this prayer language. We're not talking about the biblical gift of languages. We're talking about some modern thing that they're concocting, but it's not modern. We studied it all the way back, Acts 16:16, and all the way back to the prophets of Baal on Mount Carmel. They spoke in this language. Muslims speak in this language. Catholics speak in this language. Buddhists speak in this language. What is that language? That language is not the languages of spoken of the gift of languages in the Bible in the second chapter of the book of Acts, which we studied. Private tongues or private prayer language are not the languages that the Bible speaks of as the having the gifts. You can go to some charismatic churches, and they have classes on how to talk in tongues. You're not going to find that in the Bible. The Apostle Paul said some had the gift of speaking in language, but not all of them. But the gift in speaking language is not in prayer language, not in the language of angels. It's not in a private language. It's not in a gibberish that you cannot understand. In the modern charismatic churches, you have somebody get up and they speak in this unknown language, and then sometimes they have somebody that interprets what they said. Now, the person that speaks in the language, they don't know what they're saying. The interpreter is supposed to be able to interpret that. But the prayer language that they're speaking of in the Bible that Paul was talking about was a known, accredited language. And the person that was interpreting knew how to speak that language and spoke that language when they prayed. They had visitors that came in and prayed. And somebody, they could not pray in the church unless somebody was there that they could interpret the language that they were speaking in into the language of the church. Known languages. The miracles are not the same miracles in the charismatic movement that there are in the early apostolic ages. When Jesus or the apostles healed somebody, they healed them 100%, except for the one blind man that Jesus healed. He healed his eyes first, and then he healed his brain so his brain could interpret what the eyes saw. And that's a medical fact, by the way. The healers today say that they have the gift of miracles and that the gift of healing is in the atonement. The atonement is the atonement. The gift of miracles was to prove that Jesus was a Messiah and to prove that the apostles were receiving the Word of God. When they received the Word of God, the miracle ceased for themselves, it says in Corinthians. The speaking in tongues today are not the speaking in tongues of the Bible language and gifts. The prophecy of the charismatic movement, they will admit that it is sometimes as little as no prophecy. In other words, 0% comes true. Maybe up to 80 or 85% with real good prophets. But the biblical prophets were 100% right 100% of the time. And you have a revealed standard, and then you have a modern standard, which is, as one man, as one charismatic preacher said, well, it's like going to a baseball game. You have to have an umpire to say when it's a strike or a ball. He strikes out or he makes a hit. You have to have an umpire that tells a man that the man ran the bases legally. And that's the way it is in this charismatic church, as this preacher said, that sometimes it's a ball and sometimes it's a strike. Sometimes it's true and sometimes it isn't. We don't know which one it is. According to the Word of God, there's a whole bunch of those people that ought to be executed. First of all, a prophecy will not lead you contrary to the revealed Word of God, to God's orthodox standards. The Word of God says that the prophecies would cease, that the tongues would cease. But now the prophets say they're here again. Is the Bible right, or are they revealed, have a God of revelation from someplace else besides God? God has no in-betweens. When a person has a dream or a vision or whatever, they'll tell that. And then everybody sits there and says, well, pretty sounds pretty fantastic to me, but I can't say that he's wrong because it's a prophecy. I have no problem saying he's wrong to begin with because we don't have that today. I have no problem saying that the tongue talkers are not talking with the biblical miracle of the Bible. Because what they're doing is not what the Bible talked about. Except in what we call paganism. And the prophets of Baal. And satanic worship. Satanic worshipers talk in tongues. How could this same miracle of talking in tongues in a private prayer language, in an unknown language, in a gibberish, and the same gibberish going on in this paganism, how come they can't see that what they're doing is what the pagans do, not what the Christians did? the languages in the Bible, the talking in languages in the Bible, the interpretation of languages in the Bible edified the church. And the Holy Spirit always magnified Christ, not himself. In your modern charismatic movement, they always talk about the Holy Ghost, the Holy Ghost, the Holy Ghost. And no matter what you believe to be orthodox, it's okay because you got this experience. The continuous believe that the experience is still here today. The cessationists believe that when the Bible was complete, those gifts ceased. Prophecy must be 100% accurate to be a prophet from God. Not 20%, not 0 to 95%. Now, these charismatic leaders tell us that the message is 100% true, but the messenger can be wrong. You're not going to find that in the Bible. They say that the message is true, that they were trying to, the revelation is true, but the messenger goofed it up and didn't come out just exactly right. Is the Word of God correct, or is this interpretation of the Word of God correct? Modern prophets don't meet the requirements of Deuteronomy 13, 1 through 5, or Deuteronomy 18, 20 through 25, or either from Peter's statement in 2 Peter. They don't meet those requirements. So are the modern miracles, the modern talking in tongues, did Jesus preach miracles or tell them that he was the Messiah? He did the miracles to prove that he was Messiah. The apostles did the miracles to prove that the message was true. And when they had received the complete canon of Scripture, the gifts ceased for themselves automatically, middle voice. A human, as the charismatics say, is a fallible person. But the divine message was correct. But the human element in the divine message can make mistakes in trying to say what God says. We as Orthodox Christians believe that the Word of God is by plenary inspiration, that is complete, that is true. I am a language student, and I always say that I believe the Bible is inspired in tense, mode, and voice, and gender, and case. Absolutely. And it's so beautiful. You see it in the Hebrew and in the Greek and in the Chaldee. It's beautiful. It never misses a stroke. It never misses a doctrinal statement. You have the charismatics. Some of the more conservative charismatics call themselves, they say, what we call a continuist. They don't go along with all of the chaos in the church services, as in what we call my more liberal or radical Pentecostal churches. But the Assembly of God and Calvary Chapel, they have this, but they have it to a more refined level, they say. Doctors will tell you that it's not good to take poison. Mercury, arsenic, cyanide, any deadly poison, it's not good to have a little bit of it either. Poison is poison. False doctrine is false doctrine. We as God's people always have the same spiritual equipment. That's it, the Word of God. We all have that. The charismatic says they have more. They have extra biblical revelation. Extra biblical revelation in Deuteronomy, the 13th chapter and the 8th chapter, was condemned. Peter condemned it in 2 Peter. Paul condemned it. John condemned it. The extra biblical revelation is what calls the Catholic Church to become the Catholic Church. The Catholic Church has a different gospel, it has a different God, it has a different Jesus than the Word of God. The gospel of the charismatics is not Jesus Christ and Him crucified. It is the gifts and the healings and how much God loves you and doesn't want you to be sick. And that healing, by His stripes you are healed. That's the atonement, people. Healing is not in the atonement. It wasn't in the atonement in Jesus' time. It was the power of God. It was the power of God to prove that Jesus was HaMashiach, the one and only Jehovah in flesh. I have preached to you these last 17 messages to try to guard you from falling into this heresy. Many of my students have been confused with these elements. They asked me to preach on this subject, and I have. The whole world needed it. Many people are confused about this because it is Babylon again. It is confusion. There are 20,000 different denominations and groups of charismatics. There are those that believe that Jesus Christ died for your sin. There are those that believe in Jesus is just a good person, like the Muslim world, the Buddhist world. Buddha was the greatest prophet, you know, according to them. Jesus was a prophet, but Buddha was the greatest. Islam will tell you Jesus was a prophet, but Muhammad's the greatest. The Catholic Church will tell you that Jesus is the one that was crucified on the cross of Calvary, and they still put Him on the cross every day. Catholicism is 100% heretical from A to Z. Because of continuous revelation. Extra-biblical revelation. The Pentecostal church is heretical because it has continuous revelation. If we had continuous revelation today, it wouldn't lead you away from salvation by grace, I can assure you. It wouldn't lead you into Arminian thoughts. He wouldn't tell you that baptism washes away your original sin and that you have to keep it up with good works, or you have to confess to some priest, or you have to pray to Mary. This is all heresy, people. But yet, these people that share the same experience, your charismatic people will say, but, you know, that's a missing engine, but an engine that's out of, it's sick. They'll say, but I had this experience. How can you tell me the gift of tongues, it is in existence because I got it? If you got the gift of tongues, brethren, it's not from God. Must come from some other place, because the gift of tongues in the Bible is not a gibberish. It's not a prayer language. It's not a language you talk to the angels with. And they say, well, look, we're talking in this angelic language. What kind of language did the angels speak? Did Abraham understand what the angel told him? Did Daniel understand what the angel told him? Did John understand what the angel told him? There's no gibberish language from God. There's no unknown language from God. The gift of language from God is the one from the Bible. The gift of language to speak in somebody's language that they didn't learn. In January 1st, 1901, a lady at a theological school, Parham School, said she got the gift of language and spoke in Chinese. They understood that the gift of language is not some gibberish, but it was a language that you could understand. Whether she actually spoke in Chinese or something, we do not know. But I guarantee you, if a demon took possession of somebody, they could speak in any language they wanted to speak in, or a gibberish. Now, in these unknown languages, there's two vowels, or three vowels, E, O, and U. Now, the screaming demon is Iyah, an E and an A. Iyah, Iyah, Iyah. My wife had never experienced what I experienced in my early days. I grew up in charismatic churches. And I went on the computer and I showed her different preachers that I've been talking about speaking in this unknown language. We looked at for 3 or 4 hours of people that were doing these miracles and speaking in unknown languages, and not one time was a gospel of Jesus Christ ever preached. Not one time did they tell you to come to Jesus and repent of your sins and ask God to save your soul. Not once. Every time we'd listen to one of these, I said, did you hear the gospel? And she said, no. The message of the charismatic is different than the message of Paul and Peter and James and John and Matthew and Mark and Luke. The different gospel people. It's a different evangelism. They're wanting you to believe that their gifts are from God. And they're trying to prove it. If they go according to the word of God, they all would be executed. Not one of them has a perfect prophecy. Not one. What will you believe? We have a perfect revelation, which is the word of God. And we have an imperfect revelation, according to the charismatic movement. None of them are pure. That you gotta be like an umpire when somebody gets up and speaks in lungs, or they have a prophecy or they have an interpretation. You just gotta know whether it was a ball or a strike or it wasn't anything at all. The prophets of the Bible never emphasized themselves. They emphasized the message. They emphasized God. They emphasized Jesus. Muhammad supposedly was a prophet, an apostle of God, but yet he always spoke of himself and not God. He always perpetrated himself as being greater than Jesus. Where did that prophecy come from? Where was the origin of that? And the popes down through the ages, when they invented all of these different ideas and doctrines contrary to the explicit orthodox view of the Bible. Where did that come from? Where was the origin of that doctrine or revelation? The Catholic Church will tell you that that the Pope is an apostle, that he gets revelation, that he is ex nihilo, that it's coming from God. It's a spoken word. Mama said a word came down. Message came down. The Pope said a message came down. I can say with the word of God, those messages are incorrect. They are not according to the word of God. Not according to the standards of God's word. Is the prophet telling you to do something contrary to the God's revealed will? Is the prophet an honest man? Is the prophet morally sound? Do the followers of the prophet, are they morally sound? The prophets in the Bible were. The prophets in the Bible gave us God's word. Our Heavenly Father, I send this message out. I pray for those that are mixed up in this charismatic groups, menagerie. I pray that your Spirit will convict them of sin, righteousness, and judgment to come. That your word tells us that we're saved forever and that we're saved by grace alone and nothing else. And that our gospel that we preach is your Son and Him crucified and resurrected. Father, let them see that. I pray for them, Father. I pray that they will open their hearts to your word and not their experiences. Everyone weighs their experiences more than your word and your revealed will. Father, please forgive me where I fail you. But use this message to touch hearts, to build them up in your word, to bring them back to the orthodoxy of the word of God. Father, you only founded one system of belief, one faith, one Lord, one baptism. Let us rest in that. In Jesus' name I pray.